You're listening to an encore presentation of The Rush with Ryan and Jay. News Talk 1010.
They could have killed somebody.
I don't think there were a ton of other paths to take on that.
Well, it's creative.
Time to feel the rush of the round table.
Welcome to it for this Monday, the 18th of November. Joining us from the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa, Bill Carroll Show Fridays on News Talk 1010 and Coast to Coast is Bill Carroll.
Hello.
Hello, Bill. From the pole position in an infinitely shorter title, John Pole.
G'day, g'day.
And the Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie, joins us in the studio. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Jay.
So this story, actually, we watched it unfold as I was doing the night side on Friday night. It was just a terrible fire in North York, 235 Gosford Boulevard, a 15-story building near Jane and Steeles. And it looks like, it got to be a five-alarm blaze, and it's done a lot of damage, and 160 residents are displaced. One resident was discovered dead on an eighth-floor balcony. And this has had a lot of discussion because there were a number of residents who were outside looking at what was going on, seeing this person yelling, encouraging this person to jump. And some of those people have gotten to be a little bit critical of the fire department, saying they should have, could have saved him, and they didn't. And we've heard a lot of back and forth, and some people saying it, and the fire department saying it just is not feasible in that situation to know exactly what can be done. And I believe there was somebody on, a firefighter who was on earlier talking about it.
You now have maybe 10 crews, 40, 45 firefighters that are devastated that they couldn't save this guy. You know, and the criticism doesn't help.
For people to take a look at firefighters, I mean, these are people who risk their lives every single day. I think it's a little bit harsh to assume you know what they would have been able to do, Robert.
Yeah, I mean, Barbara, this story reminded me of, I covered the coroner's inquest to the two Forest Laneway fire back in 1995 that killed a bunch of folks. And it was the last really bad high-rise fire. And there's a lot of confusion among residents, and a lot of changes happened as a result of that coroner's inquest, including things like doors now, you can't leave an apartment door in a high-rise, can't stay open because it causes the flames to fan and gives a fire oxygen. But there were changes as a result of that. The thing about this, and it seems like we still have that today, there's a lot of confusion among residents about what firefighters can and cannot do. I think there's a lot of folks who live in high-rises who believe that, for example, the firefighters have helicopters that can land on the roof and help you get out that way. So this person who died on the balcony, it's a really scary, awful situation. I don't know how you prevent that.
John, you know, the way the firefighters have been explaining it, and the fire chief said, the way they had to approach this one was from the inside out. They were fighting it from the inside out, and they just could not have done it that way. I mean, I just find it difficult that the firefighters are facing such criticism, people assuming they know what they could have done.
Yeah, I think it's always easy to armchair quarterback anything. And in this case, when someone loses their life and there was someone on the ground that thinks they had the solution, even though they actually don't know the mechanics it takes to actually accomplish it, I can understand how people might be vocal about it. But that being said, look, fighting fires is not an easy business, and that's why so many people don't do it as a living. And it takes a special someone to not only learn the skills, but then also have the courage to run in the building when everyone's running out. So the last thing I'm going to do is be critical of a fire department. I will take them at their word because I have no reason to not believe them at this point.
Bill?
Yeah, you know, always worth looking at things and seeing if there's anything we can do to improve it. I remember the fire at Yonge and Bloor in the high-rise building, and people were shocked for the same reasons. Why can't they get a helicopter there? Why can't they drop a rope down from the roof and rescue people? We all watch a lot of Chicago Fire and shows on TV, and it always looks so easy. But so, yeah, you got to look at it and make sure everything could be done. But I just don't believe that many firefighters sat back and didn't even give a thought to how to rescue those people. Of course they would have done anything. If they had a ladder that could reach it, they would have gotten on the ladder. If they could get the ladder close without putting themselves at risk, they would have done that. I just, you know, I've a slightly open mind about what they done, what they did, and what their tactics are and could be improved, but not very. I just don't believe for 1 minute they wouldn't do whatever is humanly possible.
Story we've been following since it broke late this afternoon, a city committee is pausing a plan that would have spent $400,000 on a study to assess modernization options for Toronto's council chamber. Toronto city staff had asked councillors to approve the spending so they could map out how to best update the chamber. This feels like the most expensive
consultation.
Consultation ever. Now, the chamber was last, estimate rather, was last, the council chamber was last renovated in 1998. They called it a unique opportunity to address various issues. Comfort on the list of suggested updates, obviously. Desks are narrow. Seating areas cramped. This is from the staff report. And I'll start with you on this one, Robert. I mean, considering that they're still trying to fight the amount of slashes that went on with council, I guess this is the smart move, but that's a pretty big price tag just for an estimate.
Yeah, I mean, especially since the council chamber is a little more spacious than it was because you have fewer councillors in that chamber. I actually love that chamber, having spent some time covering City Hall over the years, and I'm also old enough to have covered the 1998 renovation, and there was a lot of trepidation about that. But I think this is, in light of some of the choices that the city is facing, I think this is probably a wise thing to back off on at a time when you're kind of looking at other service areas. Mm-hmm. Maybe $400,000 for a consultation, and then heaven knows what renovations would cost.
Now, are we surprised, Bill, that we managed to actually pause this before it happened?
You know, I can't believe I'm no longer surprised. About $400,000 is the fee to have someone come and scratch their head and go, well, we could put that wall over here and take a couple of bathrooms over there. Exactly. We need more open spaces. That's what we need. So, you know, but we're kind of used to that right now. When there's government involved, everything costs way more than it ever would in the private sector. They just can't possibly go ahead right now while they're still in court fighting how many members of council they're going to be, right? Until you know how many people are going to sit there, you can do nothing. So obviously they had to put it off.
I sometimes wonder, John, how these reports even get this far. Do you know what I mean? how would it even get voted on when it's so obvious that they can't do it?
Well, you got to think there's probably somebody, it's their job at the city to make sure all the buildings are up to code and are progressing and changing as needs are changing, technology's changing. So I imagine it's somebody's job, which is fine. The optics on this could have been horrible, and I think the optics on it actually come out very strong for the city, in the sense that they said, look, we're not giving you a blank check on this. We recognize that maybe some updates need to be done, but not now. It's not broke, so why are we fixing it? And the reality is there's a lot of bigger problems in the city right now, and I think taxpayers in general dislike when they see the city spending money on themselves, their own offices, their own quarters, instead of putting it towards taxpayers in general. So I'm glad they shut it down, but I'd like to be the guy on the receiving end of the 400 grand to give them some quotes. I got some ideas.
Yeah, I could spend a week there doing a quote for you.
We had a lively discussion earlier this hour about an opinion piece that came out in the Spectator, the Hamilton Spectator, and it was talking about why Toronto needs more toll highways like the 407. Some very interesting stats. The 407 has an average 413,000 trips every weekday, more trips than GO Transit. The trips are smooth and fast during peak hours. 85% of vehicles on the 407 are traveling at or above 100 kilometers an hour. By comparison, 85% of drivers on the equivalent portions of the 401 are going below 50 kilometers at the same time. And I guess the very basic question, Robert, is, you know, John Chory looked at tolling the Parkway and the Gardner at one point. Kathleen Wynne shut that down. Does it make sense if there are people out there who would pay for that convenience? It's a pay-as-you-go option, really.
Well, Barb, the people who are listening on the 407 right now as they drive home are going to get home more quickly than the people who are on the 401, presumably, because it's moving at a faster speed. It's not as congested. I personally like toll roads. I think that user pay is a very good way to go. It would force governments to have better transit and better transit alternatives for people to get out of their cars. And I think it would also lead to more carpooling, things like that. Now, it's easy for me to say because I can walk to work, so I'm not commuting. I wouldn't want to pay $12 every day to get on a tollway. But I think in the future, if we want more highways, we want better access to the city, I think that's a way we're going to have to look.
I mean, John, you look at the condition of the 407, and it's always in such better condition than the 401. And a lot of people were texting in earlier saying it makes a difference to their mental health, to their stress level, to be able to save 35, 45 minutes on their commute.
The world operates in one simple formula, and that is time versus money. Some people will spend more money to save time, and others preferred to spend time to save money. So they'll go shopping at 10 different places to save $5 or $10. Other people go, no, I just want to get it done. I get in and I get out. So depends who you are. I think having toll roads like the 407 gives an option to everyone. And the reality is maybe you can argue that people who have more money can use it more frequently, and that's true. But if it's there as an option the day you need it to get home to your daughter's choir recital, then you could use it on that day. And on that day, it's probably worth the money.
Bill, do you think Toronto could use more toll highways like the 407?
Well, if you're going to build a brand new highway, I don't have a problem with that. Turning other roads that are already there into toll roads, sure, they'd be quieter. Because if you think about it, the 407, all these years, and it's still not congested. That tells you most people can't afford it. The 401 is still congested. So people would leave the Gardiner Expressway, they'd leave the Don Valley Parkway, and they'd be on the city streets because they can't afford to take it. And it would be hell to try, if it isn't already hell, to get around in the city. It would even be worse. So that's not realistic to me. But if you want to build a brand new highway, let's keep it this time, okay? Let's not sell it. If the people are going to build it, let the people keep it. Otherwise, let a private company build the entire thing and pay for all of it up front. Let's not build it and give it away, though.
Because we love pilot projects in Toronto, starting today, customers can order from more than 60 new vendors through the Foodora app and website. Now, some of the other things you'll be able to do on it are grocery items, health food items, convenience stores like 7-Eleven. Yep, you can get Slurpees delivered. Pet food, home goods, but specifically today what we're talking about is wine, beer, and booze. The Reed's Gin Distillery signing on, the Wine Rack, Amsterdam Brew House, Bellwoods Delivery, 10 other local beer makers here in Toronto will now deliver to your home. This in addition to the LCBO, which launched on the platform in September. And what we're asking everybody today, Robert, is they've built it, but will people come? And more specifically, will people want this to be delivered?
I think they will. And I'm going to say it is for the same reason that if you told me three years ago that I would get into a stranger's private car and they would drive me around, now everyone uses Uber and Lyft. So I think services like this are clearly going to fill a demand. Obviously, a lot of consumers in Ontario would like even more choice, would like to maybe not have the LCBO monopoly, maybe have a bunch of private liquor stores and private wine stores so that they could shop. But this is, the beginning of something, maybe.
Is it, Bill? You think it's coming to your city next?
Well, I would hope so. Hey, why not, right? When I was in my 20s, we used to sit around late at night with the munchies and say, if only they deliver snack food from the local variety store. If only they deliver that my favorite cheeseburger from that restaurant. Now you can get it. Why? So, and sometimes you run out of booze. Why not? I don't have a problem with that. It's interesting, though. We spend all of our time thinking about how to alleviate the congestion and global warming and carbon emissions and everybody, right? The roads are totally filled now with delivery people. Uber people and delivery people. The rest of us are sitting at home getting fat like that Disney movie, where they're out in space just getting every generation got bigger and bigger. That's us.
John?
It's interesting. In Montreal, you can actually get alcohol delivered to your home from a restaurant. And people don't like it because for some reason with alcohol, it doesn't, for some reason, everything else are okay with it on, but no one likes to pay extra markup for alcohol on delivery. So everyone's argument is always like, I'll just go buy it myself, which I don't understand because you're paying markup on everything else. So I think people will use this because we're becoming increasingly lazier and lazier. I just don't know that I buy that people are going to use it for alcohol as much because the time you actually want the alcohol is probably not the time they're going to actually deliver it.
Good point. It's a very good point. By the way, for the record, if you Google Disney movie Fat in Space, you get Wall-E.
Wall-E, that's the one.
Which is the one.
Well done on the Google.
Well done Googling. Thank you all so much, Bill Carroll, Robert Benzie, John Paul. Have a wonderful
Cheers.
Night.
Cheers. Thanks.